By wisdom is a house built, established. Proverbs 24, verse 3. Let me translate that for you this way. By wisdom is a family reintegrated, healed, served, and led. A family reintegrated, healed, served, and led. By wisdom is a house built and established. Let me begin with a few blessings for you. Blessed are those who know enough to look behind the obvious to discover all that is in Scripture for them to feed upon. I do not mean hidden meanings. I mean plot lines that run parallel, such as those between the worldwide famine, 7 years of drought and food, with the familiar famine of the family of Jacob, where fatherly affection and attention has been absent. There is a great drought of fathering. And blessed are those who find instruction through the family relations depicted in Scripture. Blessed are they, for they find that those pictures in Scripture address matters of urgency hidden in their own lives, things that cry out for the need of forgiveness and reconciliation. Blessed are those who see that this divine wisdom is available, showing us how to bring each other into the presence of God for help and healing. Today, let us pray for direction that we may align ourselves with the goodness of God in how we treat one another. Now, the word we find, this passage. The man, the Lord of the land, said to us, "By this I will know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers with me and take grain for the famine of your households and go. But bring your youngest brother to me, that I may know you are not spies, that you are honest men. I will give your brother to you, and you may trade in the land." So, Genesis 42 reveals to us Joseph's spiritual concern for his brothers' hearts, for their lives, in fact, for their souls. What we see in the story, although it's not mentioned, is his tremendous love for them. And what he wants to know is, have they become honest men yet? You see, God extends himself, Joseph, to his brothers and to his family because Joseph, loving God, is in a position to love them. Well, are they honest men? Well, no, not yet. Joseph has the need to move them beyond offenses because they are, as the New Testament says, dead in their trespasses and sins. They are dead men walking. When you run into dead men walking, what do? You entrust them to God. You understand the need of their soul, and you seek to bring them into the presence of God, who loves them and whom he wants to minister to. I need to have these lights on. I can't see what I'm doing. Excuse me. Only take a second. Amen. Okay. It is because Joseph loves God and trusts God. So I said to myself, what can I do to help people understand this? Would you turn in your Bibles in the pew or your Bibles that you brought to Psalm 116, and I'm going to read it to you with a little interpolation, by which I mean a few brief comments as we go. Amen? So I'm going to read this psalm as if I were Joseph reading this psalm. Now, you know that couldn't happen because they were written much later than Joseph's life, but let's try that for an exercise this morning. Psalm 116. Okay, thank you. The first verse is, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. It's a declarative statement. I love the Lord. I love that. Psalm 116 is about the love of God. Why? Because he hears my voice and my supplications. When my own family, when my own brothers ignored me, the Lord heard me. Because he inclined his ear to me. Because God heard me, I will call upon him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me, and the straits or terrors of hell found me, and they came upon me, and I was cast into a pit and into despair and sorrow and anguish. And from that place I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, deliver my soul, save my life, save me. Verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, and we might add, merciful. Gracious is the Lord and righteous and merciful. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple, like me. I was only 17. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low. I was endangered. I was left to die, and God saved me. He saved me by selling me into slavery, and he relocated me according to his plan. He wasted nothing, not their hatred, not their spite, not their cruelty, not their opportunity. Return to your rest, O my soul, for God is in control, for the Lord has dealt bountifully, you know, fully, sweetly, kindly. The Lord has dealt bountifully with you, my soul. Verse 8, you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the lands of the living. Wherever I go, he will be with me, and I with him. I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. When I cried out in my alarm, all men are liars. My brothers, all men, does that matter to God? Does that derail his plans? May it never be. What shall I render to the Lord, having been rendered by him for all of his benefits towards me? Ah, I'll tell you what. I shall lift up the cup of salvation. I shall tell the congregation of the faithful. And there I will pay my vows to the Lord. Verse 14. Oh, may everyone be there. May it be in the presence of all his people. May the private to me become public to them, because precious in the sight is the death of his godly ones. Now, friends, I have cited precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones often, forgetting the context of thanksgiving, of deliverance from death within which it is set. You don't want to do that, okay? You want to remember when you quote that, that this is a psalm about being delivered out of deep personal crisis, even death. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. O Lord, surely I am your servant. I am your servant. I am your servant. Surely I am your servant. Who are we? We are his servant. And then he says, the son of your handmaid. And I went, wow, paying a tribute to mom. Imagine that. He's honoring Rachel with his mouth. What he's saying is, I am your servant. I am the son of your handmaid. I don't know where Rachel is honored any higher. And then he goes on to say, and you loosed my bonds. Well, how did God loose his bonds? He took them off. He brought him out of prison. He released him from slavery. He loosed his bonds. He will loose your bonds. He will loose the bonds of those you love. He will loose your bonds. He is into freedom and life. That's what God is all about. Verse 17. To you shall I offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. You know, Jacob did that once or twice. And then he forgot. And he neglected the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Because if he had remembered his thankfulness, he would never have said, God is against me and how pitiful my situation is. He would have remembered all that God had done for him. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Because he offered the sacrifices of thanksgiving. How are we doing with that? Are we going to God daily and thanking him for the blessings that we receive? Are we counting them one by one, as the old song says? If you do that, you will remember what God has done. Remember, God has loosed your bonds. He has brought you out of darkness. He has brought you into the light. To you I will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord in public, in worship. I will not be ashamed. I will pay my vows to the Lord. What's his vow? To praise his name and thank him. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it in public. I'm going to do it prominently. I'm going to do it conspicuously. Oh, may it be in the presence of all his people. May it be in the courts of the Lord's house. May it be in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, in the most central, anointed place in Scripture. May my praise go forth to the Lord. How's that? Psalm 116 with a little interpolation. Now, I know that David wrote this song. He wrote it about his own experience. But I found it so immensely applicable to Joseph that I wanted to share it with you this morning. Does everyone get it? You see the connection? Okay. Well, then, that was successful. Ah. So, in Deuteronomy, we read that God has led you his way, all the way, for 40 years. And after 40 years of training, you'd think the people would get used to the program, amen, and continue in his ways. After 40 years. Maybe they would continue in his ways? Well, we read the record and we find out that they actually didn't do that thing. The question for us is, are we in the way of the Lord? Are we walking in the way of the Lord? Is that the testimony of our life? Why does God humble us anyway? Well, he humbles us to know our heart. You see, what Joseph wanted to know about his brother, God wants to know about you. Are you honest yet? Have you gotten to the place where you are transparent and open and honest with God? Are you honest yet? Because God wants your love in the integrity of your heart. He wants it not only to be sincere, he wants it to be truthful. Do you truly love the Lord your God with all your soul and strength and mind and might? Do you? God wants to know. You answer him. Answer him today. Tell him where you are. And if you're not where you're supposed to be, admit that and ask him to move you on or up or over. Amen? Walk in his way. So, God humbles you to know your heart. He wants to know if you love him enough. Remember what he said to Peter in the last chapter of John? Do you love me more than these? Well, then, will you obey me? Do you love me more than these? Will you feed my sheep? Do you love me more than these? Will you go where I tell you to go? And do you love me more than these? Will you mind your own business and leave your neighbors alone? Will you stop being nosy and picky and judgmental and condemnatory and critical? Will you stop those things and just listen to me? Because I don't care. I'm talking to you. I want you to do what I tell you to do. I don't want you to be deflected. I don't want you to be distracted. I don't want you to be turned away from the way. walk in the way I've shown you, because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord. So God disciplines us, we learn in this passage today, as his sons. As a father disciplines his children. God is our father. And his love for us is a corrective love and a guiding love. Parental love is like that. So, God disciplines us as his sons that we might know who we really are. And if we are obedient, he piles on temporal blessings. You remember? Brooks, rivers, trees, fruit, pomegranates. I love the pomegranates. I don't know why they threw that in, but there it is. The fruit of the land was going to be bountiful. They wouldn't be hungry there. They would eat and be satisfied. Now, when we look at the picture of Canaan at the time of Genesis 42, that's not the picture we have. The land is dried up. The land is fruitless. What's with that? God said he was going to take them to this fruitful land, and it's a desert. Well, let me tell you why. The land's not ready yet. It's not ready to be the promised land. It has a ways to go. And the people of God, they're not ready either. They have a ways to go. And so we learn that God is in the business of getting his people ready. And the secret to that is to repent and believe. You can repent and believe every day of your life and you'll be doing good. The Christian life is a life of continual repentance. It doesn't mean you're just redoing it. It means that you're actually in a lively way going back to God and saying, "Oh God, help me turn from my sin and my wickedness and help me follow you. Help me to be light. Make me ready." You see, the emphasis in Genesis 42 is on life, and that's why we're stuck here for another week. And I'm trying to share with you. When God said to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply," he was talking to you. The mandate in Genesis is the same one for you. Be fruitful and multiply. Live. In the scriptures, there's someone who cries, "Choose life." Why would you choose to die? I think it's Moses, but I didn't look it up. I just remembered the quotation. Why would Joseph's brothers choose death? Joseph wants them to live. So we take a look at this gaggle of guys, right? Joseph's brothers. And we understand that according to the Ten Commandments of God, they were at least triple offenders. Amen? Want me to spell that out for you? They dishonored their father. They murdered their brother, and they committed adultery. They probably did other things too, but I mean, being a triple offender is pretty serious business. Amen? So we're looking at them as offenders. And they are living a life of denial. They are acting as if they're oblivious to the nonsense that they've been up to. They are living as if the sin that they've been participating in doesn't matter. So God says, "Okay, let me wake you up. Here's a famine. You can starve. Or you can come to me. You can come to me for life. Or you can die where you are. Let me help you come to your senses." Does it sound familiar? Does it sound like the prodigal son? You know, who went away and wasted his father's wealth and then finally came to himself and said, "Oh my goodness, what am I doing here? Why am I living a life of debauchery, lechery, and sin? What is wrong with me?" He comes to himself and returns to the Father. Now, what I want to tell you is that no one becomes honest on their own. We need divine help, amen? We need the Spirit to convict us. We need the love of brothers and sisters to support us. No one becomes honest through self-effort. I stumbled over that because I wanted to make sure you understand. Self-effort today is called self-help. We call it self-help. No one becomes honest by self-help. God is the one who makes you honest. And he does that by giving you manna. He gives you his manna. The word of life sent down from heaven is manna. That's what we are to feast on. That's what we are to live on. We are to live lives of God reliance. So God speaks and grain comes into existence. God speaks and grain grows in the field. God speaks and the weather favors the crop. God speaks and we come to harvest. And God speaks and the harvest is turned into flour. God speaks and the flour is turned into bread. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And then I thought, God is so bountiful. You remember his temporal blessings? They include stones of iron. Well, what's that about? And how about copper in the hills? You see, God has put resources in place to provide for the needs of his people way ahead of time. They weren't into iron making and copper making in the beginning, but God had prepared for that day to come, just like he put oil in the ground for us to have the age in which we live with gasoline and oil and petroleum products. God saw all of that and provided for it ahead of time. Praise be and thanks be to God. Amen? Do you understand? God has a plan. It's not flawed. It's perfect. He has everything laid out the way it's supposed to be. And he does it ahead of time. So he had metalworking in mind when he put iron stones in Israel. Distribution of natural resources is part of God's plan of providence. But what about the family? What about the spiritual resources we need? What about the help we need in healing our broken families? Anyone got a broken family? Any got a family that's in need of healing and help? Yeah, anyone? So where do we go to get the help we need in healing a broken family? You know, the answer is surprising. It starts with loving God. When you love God, you become his servant. When you become his servant, you become his instrument. You become his instrument in bringing healing to his family. What we've got here in Scripture is the picture of what we call an intervention. Does anyone know what an intervention is with an alcoholic? Okay, everyone know that? Look, if you don't know that, would you stick your hand up? Because I'll explain it if you don't. And if you do, we can move on. So we have a picture here of an intervention. God is using Joseph to confront his brothers with their depravity, their sin. It's an intervention. They weren't thinking about it. They think they're just fine. So Joseph deals wisely and spiritually with his brothers. It's very interesting. He doesn't judge them. He doesn't criticize them. He simply brings them into the presence of the Lord. He brings about circumstances that cause them to become get one-on-one with God. And once they get one-on-one with God, God takes it from there. Love God, be his servant, be his instrument. Now, the things that he confronted, the denial, the deceit, the lying, and the real guilt, he needed to bring them to their senses. He needed to serve them as their goel, their kinsman redeemer. It's a beautiful thing that he does. It's a foreshadowing of what Christ does. And he does this because, and he does this through the circumstances. Now, he creates these circumstances. He needed the wisdom of God to create the circumstances necessary to make his brothers sweat bullets. Amen? So what does he do? He says, you are spies. Now, are they spies? No, they're not. They simply came to get food. But they are being falsely accused. How many people have been falsely accused in their life? Okay, you understand what's going on here. That hurts. And they languish under the lash of this false accusation. And then they are cut off from their family and they are cut off from hope by the executive actions of the governor of Egypt, and they are thrown into prison. He uses these circumstances wisely to provoke their awareness of their sin and their need for forgiveness. It's an intervention. So it was Proverbs 20:20, which I didn't write down, is do not repay evil, but await the vengeance of the Lord. He is willing to turn all of that business over to them, but in order to get them to the place where they need to be, he has to put them in a very dark place, like a dungeon. Because those who curse their father and mother shall have their lamp put out in a dark place. So he puts them in that dark place, and there they are, afraid that their lamp is about to be put out. They are frightened, and they are pressed. Why is Joseph tormenting his brothers like this? Because God told him to. Because he loved them enough to do what God would have him do in relationship with them. He had wisdom from God. What do we need?
Wisdom
from God. And how do you get wisdom from God? You start with loving God. Do you love God? Do you have a relationship with him? Because if you love God, then you're going to receive from him the wisdom that you need to be a healing force in your family. By wisdom is a house built. Do you remember? I said, by wisdom, a family is reintegrated, healed, served, and led by wisdom. Romans 12:17-21. Would you mind looking that up with me? I want you. Did we hear it? I'm sorry. Romans 12:17-21. Are you there? Okay. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Any questions? I mean, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved. Do you know why God says never take your own revenge? Because you don't know what you're doing. You have no idea when you step in that direction and take your own revenge what you're getting into. And God is saying, look, silly man, don't get involved in this. It's out of your league. Let me take care of it. Because I'm good at taking care of it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Here's what you're to do. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you heap burning coals on his head. You know, we used to think, does that mean torture them? No, what it means is bring about conviction in their heart for the evil they intended to do to you because of the good that you do to them. They'll get it. They'll understand that you're returning kindness for cruelty, love for hatred. They may not get it right away because some of them are a little slow on the uptake, right, Ruth? But there it is. We understand that what we want to do is do what God told us to do. We don't care what you're doing. We care what we're doing. Here's what we're doing. We're loving God. We're being his servants. We're serving him as an instrument of his peace. We're bringing health and healing and wholeness. Whether you want it or not, whether you're open to it or not, it doesn't matter. Because we answer to God, not you. Wow. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And for those of you who don't know about God's vengeance, let me read to you Malachi 4, verses 1 to 3, so that you can get a grip. You ready? For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves released from the stall in spring. You will tread down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing. Thus saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. There are other passages, but that'll do, won't it? Joseph had the wisdom of God. So what has to happen is that there needs to be a heart transformation on the part of his brothers, a transplant or a renovation. They need new hearts. The selfishness and carnality needs to go. The jealousy, the envy, and the hatred need to go. The old man needs to die. The new man needs to come to life. Why? Because these things are the imprisoning sins of Jacob. Do you know we put ourselves in prison? When we hate others, we jail ourselves. When we sin, we put ourselves in bondage. The imprisoning sins of Jacob. He's living in the haunted house of his unresolved grief. He's chained to his losses, his past, and his negativity. Don't go there. The Lord has better things for you than this. And then there's the legacy of his lust that we find in his sons. That must have been very hard to live with, until Joseph shows up and, by the wisdom of God, looks past all of that and plants redeeming hope in the hearts of his brothers, regardless of what they've done, regardless of what they think. He's listening to God, acting on the wisdom of God. He is acting as their deliverer. And so we say, Joseph comes to father his brothers. Now, he's not the oldest son, but he is the one who's been chosen by God to take over the headship of the family, to bring unity, to bring everyone in the family, including Jacob, back to God, to bring everyone into his presence. He is the servant of God. Joseph himself, are you listening? Is God's provision for the family. You yourself are God's provision for your family. God is trying to use you in the same way he used Joseph. Hallelujah. You are God's provision for the healing of your family. Well, there's healing power. Amen? There's healing power with God, the God of compassion. There's forgiveness. That's what we're encouraging. And by faith, we take these things and bring them to those who are imprisoned. I don't know about you, but I look at this and I go, oh my goodness. This is a better story than any superhero tale I've ever seen. This is a better story than any revenge story I've ever read. This is great stuff. This is where good triumphs. Health and healing happen. God is in favor of life and health and healing. And when you operate aligned with God's will, that's what you bring to. is better than revenge. The best revenge is forgiveness. Your enemies don't know what to do with that. And then you love them to life. I know you thought I was going to say love them to death, but I'm not confused. You're going to love them to life. All right. So do not choose your own revenge. Allow God to take care of that. Well, that's what I have for you this morning. I want to close with a blessing for you. This is a practice I want to take up, and I pray you give me some feedback on how this helps you. I hope it does. Blessed are those who know enough to look beyond what's obvious in Scripture. Blessed are those who find instruction through the family relations depicted in Scripture, and therefore seek wisdom from God and welcome the help of the Holy Spirit. Blessed are those who abandon their dreams of revenge. It is not sweet. It is awful. Blessed are those who choose to forgive and move forward, loving those who do not deserve it, because if you do so, they might even learn the way of love. Let them learn from you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. That's not my blessing. That's the Lord's blessing. And in your name, in His name, I extend it this day to you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You shall be satisfied. Amen.